Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, sometimes you just need a different take on today's sports news. And that's just what we're going to do.
Woo-hoo! I say, sports fans.
A fresh look at the headlines is here with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
Getting what the ATL needs. A fresh weekend sports talk show.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's just get down to it.
Now, the Dopey Millennial Show is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Sunday evening, going until 7 o'clock today. We'll hand things off to Grant McCauley and From the Diamond, but glad to be with you for a couple of hours, or an hour and some change, I guess you could call it, to talk about what has been an exciting weekend, an exciting week in Atlanta sports, and ended with, at least so far today, we're coming off what was a really nice win for the Atlanta Dream. Look, I knew that the league had obviously started back up after the Olympic break, but things had not gone well for the Dream going into the Olympic break, and I knew it was bad. I knew it was bad, but I had to look it up just to remind myself. 8 straight losses going into the Olympic break for the Atlanta Dream, and things had just been down in the dumps, quite honestly. So to come out and to win 2 straight now, a win over Seattle on Friday, and then today, what you just heard, Mike Conti on the call, getting the win over the Connecticut Sun, 2nd in the league. That's a really good basketball team right now. So to get these back-to-back wins, and then now to go face Phoenix for a couple of games, really interesting to see if Atlanta can turn around their season. I mean, they've essentially pulled off 20% of their wins in just 2 games. That is the type of turnaround this team has had. But coming from the Atlanta Dream win today, a really interesting weekend when it came to the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I feel like I've got a lot of, if I could be selfish for a moment, I've got a lot of positive energy surrounding myself of Dom, producer Dom, on the other side of the glass. We're heading into week 3 for me going to the gym. I, for my life, I have been, what are they used to call? Husky? As the, that
yeah,
was
husky.
The,
husky.
Yeah, that was the, like, polite, quote-unquote polite term to call it. And, you know, finally just decided, had a few things in life that just made me go, yeah, you know what, I want to do this. And so if we get some time later in the show, I do want to talk about I had my first embarrassing moment this past week. Everyone, I feel like, has gone through some form of embarrassment as the gym is a public place. If you want to hit me up on Twitter to give me your embarrassing moment, or might ask for some phone calls later in the show, 404-726-0929, your embarrassing moment going to the gym. But with getting back into, you know, I finally decided, look, I'm going to make life change, you know, been eating a lot better, getting into the gym now, losing some weight, starting to feel better. It's like, oh, it's crazy how all of these things work. But there is a level of commitment that it takes to do all of those things and to kind of carry that out. And something that you have to see, you have to carry it out. You have to continually push yourself, or you can kind of fall back into same old kind of patterns and things like that. It's just one of those, it takes effort. And there is something, I think, different for a lot of people of, like, going physically to the gym versus being like, I'll do some push-ups at the house. Like, I'll do some things here or there. Not to say that people can't get better at home or doing other things, but going to the gym, at least as I've seen, there's the machines are there, the weights are there, like, everything is set up for you to have success. Now, you might see through where I'm going here. I'm having a hard time with a very small thing. I'm not willing to make it a big deal. I'm having a hard time with Michael Penix Jr. not playing in the preseason. A rookie quarterback who, like, needs to soak up every bit of on the field as close to real game situations as possible so that when he takes over, he's ready to perform. Because see, now what we heard from Raheem Morris yesterday after Michael Penix Jr. doesn't play in the Falcons 13-12. It's a loss, but it's a preseason game against the Ravens. This is what we heard from Raheem Morris. We saw enough last week of him in the live stuff. Now we have a chance to mimic it in practice. We give it a bunch of live stuff out there in practice. You do everything you would do in a game other than get hit. We feel really good with where we are with Michael. We feel really good where we're at with the other guys that we sat. We treated that the same way. He showed us last week enough that we don't have to play him in the preseason.
Can I, you know who?
Go right ahead, Don.
You know who that sounds very similar to?
Who's that?
Arthur Smith when he was talking
it
about
this. Sure does.
Just want to point that out.
Sure does sound like Arthur Smith talking about Desmond Ridder, the guy who has been traded to Arizona, and everything that I have heard come out of that organization from media covering is like, dude, he's so bad. He's so bad. But, oh, no. We're seeing enough live reps and practice and the joint practices and that he's going to be our guy. He's our starting quarterback. At least that is what Arthur Smith said last year. Now, I am not going to go as crazy to compare Michael Penix Jr. to Desmond Ridder. Those guys, different skill levels, different planes. I don't think they are in the same sphere, in the same playing field as far as skill level. However, would you like to know who played in a preseason game this weekend? Quarterbacks who played in a preseason game this weekend. Jaden Daniels, rookie quarterback. Caleb Williams, rookie quarterback. Drake May, rookie quarterback. Daniel Jones, did he look terrible? But really expensive starting quarterback, played in the preseason. C.J. Stroud, second-year guy, a guy who is now on a different echelon based on what he did last year in his rookie season. Patrick Mahomes, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. These are the list. These are the list of guys who played in the preseason this weekend. And I don't want to be the person who goes and says, like, oh, well, if Michael Penix Jr. doesn't play in the preseason, then that means he's not going to be a good quarterback. Like, I don't want to do that whole thing. I'm just having a really hard time here with Raheem Morris talking about a rookie quarterback that he's seen enough that he doesn't need to see him in the preseason. Because then I have to ask the question, what is the preseason good for? What's it good for? Now, I've heard a lot of people say, not good for much, you need to get rid of it. Then we need to move towards that point. But I have a hard time believing that a rookie quarterback doesn't need in-game reps in a preseason game, that it is as close to a real game as possible. No, the competition level is not the same that he would see in the regular season, but just about everything else is. Because and we've heard this whole, like, oh, well, you know, we get a lot of vanilla plays, and teams aren't trying to show anything. Patrick Mahomes threw a pass behind his back this weekend. Talk about not giving away plays. Now, of course, he came to the podium, said that that was a whole, like, hey, this was a play breakdown with me and Travis. Travis was supposed to run a different route. That didn't happen. Here's the fact, though. He made the play. Like, he gave teams something on film, and we always hear the preseason, you don't want to give teams anything on film because these games don't count. I, as a very new member of the gym people, I need to go. I could do some cardio stuff at the house. I could do a couple free weights here or there at the house. I need the structure of going to the gym, being a new person who is going to the gym, because everything in that element at the gym is set up for success. There's no excuses. There's no, well, I don't have the 15 pounder. I got the 10, I got the 20. I need the fit. No. Everything is there. Everything that Michael Penix Jr. needs to be able to continue, read defenses, get that comfortability with players, all of that, get that comfortability with hearing Zach Robinson make the play call, spitting out the play call, not just in a practice when it's your guys against your guys, but your guys in a stadium that you're not used to being in. Things are a little bit louder than they normally are at your own practice. Like, all of these different elements come into play here, and I just have a really hard time buying that we've seen enough from Michael Penix Jr. that we don't need to see him the rest of the preseason. If so, what is the preseason good for? Because it is typically for guys who are trying to make the roster and young guys to get reps. Why did Rook Ororo play yesterday? You know, why did J.D. Bertrand play yesterday? Is it just because, hey, we had to put somebody out there? Maybe that's it. Because I know that Raheem is skittish right now because of the injuries. I get it. He's skittish right now because of the injuries that have happened. Maybe because of J.J. McCarthy, that whole situation that happened in Minnesota. But I hate to be that person. However, then don't have him practice. Then don't have him in the weight room. Then put him in a bubble. Because this is different than Kirk Cousins, a guy who your season depends on. Now, I heard a lot of people say, hey, well, you know, they don't need to play him because he could get hurt. And then what if Kirk gets hurt? And, like, then you're just going too way, way, way too far down the what if train, because I would also like to present the idea that if you have expectations for this Falcons team and you think a rookie quarterback is going to be able to complete those expectations, I find that really hard to believe. We obviously saw what C.J. Stroud was able to do last year. Is he not more of an anomaly than what's expected from most people? Does he change expectations, what C.J. Stroud did last year for other rookies? Absolutely. But is he more of the anomaly outside of that bell curve? Talked about the bell curve last week. When it comes to the Braves, are we judging this team based on what happened in 2021, which was outside the norm, versus what we can know to expect on a yearly basis? All of these things come into play when it when we're discussing the Atlanta Falcons and how they're handling this whole situation. When it comes to Michael Penix Jr., it's just something that it just bugs me a little bit. I'm not going to be the person that overreacts to it. It is just something that I feel I disagree fundamentally with the thought process here, or I'm being lied to and we could just be told, hey, we don't want to deal with injuries, and so we're not having Penix play. All right, I can hear you out on that. When we get back, we're going to continue a conversation when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons. What we saw in yesterday, it should have been a night game. So weird to play at noon. But in yesterday's game against the Ravens, we're going to do that, though, with Jarvis Davis, executive producer and host of Locked On Atlanta, and about the new Falcons signings that are coming our way. It's when we get back right here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the top, but still you gotta learn how to keep it. Hit the wheel and double the stakes. Throttle wide open like a bat out of hell. You crash.
It's the weekend.
Cause it's the weekend.
And more from the Dopey Millennial Show is on.
As a millennial, I'm part of the most advanced crop of humans that our species has ever seen.
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation, no breathing. Don't give a
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. There's nothing quite as millennial as that song. Appreciate you, producer Dom. All right. Look, it was a really, really good weekend for the Atlanta Falcons. And I say weekend is, you know, a few days before that, with the two new additions to this team, Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons, bolstering the defense for this Atlanta Falcons team. And then they went out against the Baltimore Ravens, or the backups of backups against the Baltimore Ravens, and played their own backups of backups against the Ravens and ended up losing, but a preseason game that doesn't count, 13-12. All of those things we're going to talk about as we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline and bring in Jarvis Davis, the executive producer and host of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Jarvis, how you doing on the Sunday, man?
I am well, sir. How about yourself?
I am not too bad. Look, I will say I last segment kind of did a bit of a rant. I don't want to call it a rant. A bit of a I'm not understanding the program here. When it comes to Michael Penix Jr., okay, you have a rookie quarterback. You draft that guy. You bring him in. He needs to learn the system. You don't want to play your starter and Kirk Cousins in the preseason for obvious reasons, injuries that he's experienced in the past, as well as a lot of starters don't see the field in the preseason. However, your number 8 overall rookie quarterback doesn't see the preseason in game number 2, and we learn after the game Raheem Morris lets us know, oh, yeah, he's actually done for the preseason. We've seen everything we've needed to see. He's getting the same kind of thing in practice, all of this. So, Jarvis Davis, I would like to ask you, is it a big deal or not a big deal at all that Michael Penix Jr. doesn't play in the preseason?
It sucks. I mean, to be quite honest, you know, when you
right.
think about
yeah,
it.
So,
it
like sorry. Just from a fan perspective, right? Yeah, like, it's just like, yeah, I don't. Was, like, were you like me of turning on the TV and getting that notification a little bit before and being like, wow, what am I supposed to watch now?
Well, right. I mean, of course, you know, I watch the game. You know, sure. Me being the nerd that I am when it comes to football, like, there are obviously some things that I can look for. But, man, like, the number one thing, shining bright little toy – that, you know, it's Christmas time, and, you know, it's like Christmas all over again. You know, last week against the Dolphins, we got a chance to see him. He was out there cooking a little bit. You know, he started a little shaky with some throws, but he was that was one thing that he said that he wanted to work on, or he was had a couple throws that he wanted to get back. But, and I was like, yeah, I want to see that. Can you get those throws back? Can you throw us a touchdown? Can you go on a touchdown, you know, a drive or whatever? So I just think, for me, I think it was just a matter of it was a little bit overreaction to last week in the preseason game when you lost to Marco Helms and you lost Braden Trice.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And he's like, yeah, I'm not about to let that happen to the eighth overall quarterback who's going to be the future of our team. But I look at it from a strictly football standpoint. I even talked about this on the podcast on Locked On Sports Atlanta. I was just like, man, look, I'll see if the second string offensive line was just trash, as the young folks say. But that wasn't the case. Like, they held Michael Penix upright very well last week, you know, and I actually wanted to be able to see that again. Behind that, you know, that second string offensive line. So, if you had there was a scenario where you had some questions about that, and he was under pressure last week, and he was running for his life and all that stuff in pass pro. Yeah, I get it. Okay, we saw the last of Michael Penix. Gotcha. But that wasn't the case. Those guys were out there holding up really well. You wanted to see some improvement in the run game, so you wanted to sit back there and throw the ball every down. And you saw some of that, too, this week. You saw a gradual increase in play, too, in the run game. So you pair that with solid in the pass pro game. I feel like from a strictly football standpoint, there was no reason for him not to play. So that's just and ultimately it just sucks, man, because you want to see the young man go out there and sling the ball around. You know, he's a left-handed quarterback. There's not many of those in the league nowadays. You got Tua and nobody. You know, so like, yeah, man, let's see the lefty throw him, and want to get a peek into the future, because guess what? You're gonna put that old school vintage classic car and back in the garage, and you ain't going to see him no more unless Kirk Cousins gets hurt. So, and that's a whole other conversation.
And that is exactly right. That's an entirely different conversation that I feel like a lot of fans are just way too comfortable with. They're just like, oh, you know, you don't, because I saw some of this on social media, Jarvis, of people being like, well, I mean, you don't want to hurt Michael Penix Jr. because what if, you know, Kirk Cousins goes down? And it's like, yeah, but that's a whole nother topic of conversation that I feel like a lot of fans really don't want to go down or don't want to see happen this season. I think
not
part
the first year.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, not the first year.
I think another part of this, Jarvis, too, and this is something I want to ask you about, is, all right, this kind of leads into a discussion that has been going on for quite some time in the league, which is like, how useful is the preseason? Because, I mean, as me, casual fan, you know, I'm watching, I see preseason as, okay, you say you want to be vanilla, you don't want to give too much away, you don't want to get guys hurt because the games don't count. In the same respect, it is as close to real game reps as you can get. Now, teams are obviously doing, like the Falcons have last week, doing the joint practices, all of that sort of thing. And teams are saying that's really beneficial more so than preseason. Like, are we at a point, is the preseason still useful, or have we gone past the point of, hey, we should really lower this thing down? Maybe we just do a single preseason game and the rest of it is joint practices and practices within your own team.
I'm not at that point. Okay. Because here's how I look at it, man. Like, if the preseason was insignificant or useless, how do the coaches evaluate? Like, don't they use these games to evaluate? And then the players that they then cut at 53, don't other teams use that same film to evaluate and look at that, if they want to pick that said player up that just got cut from the other team? So no, there's a lot of value in this preseason, right? From the naked eye, it might not necessarily be that because of what we just talked about earlier, right? You know, like this and the fan in me wanted to see Michael Penix go out there and play. But if from a coach's standpoint, you know, you look at the risk-reward, like, all right, I see this dude every day. I evaluate him in practice. I look at different things so I can make a decision and say, you know what, he's not going to play anymore. But when you're talking about evaluating going from 90 to 53, you need every piece of evidence that you can possibly get to be able to make a verdict, right? Or make an arrest. If we're talking about investigating a murder or something, I don't like to use that extreme. But if you want to be able to make the best decision possible, in order for you to make the best decision possible, you need real live game action. Because guess what? In practice, they're playing two-hand touch. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what they're doing. They're tagging out guys. They're not putting guys on the ground. You're not going to the ground in practice. So you need that real live game action. And the preseason is exactly that. It's exactly what you need to be able to see with certain guys, right? And especially when you talk about filling out the back end of your roster. Like, you know what you're going to get from Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. Yeah, true enough. You can't make – I can't make a case for value preseason being valuable to them. And for the coaches, because you know what you're going to get from those guys. Those guys have been in the league for quite some time. But when you're talking about Ruka Rororo, who was a little quiet and a little, you know, not necessarily proving why he was a second-round pick in the first game versus the second game, where he goes out there, he gets a sack, he out there using his hands, you see him out there being active, and you see some of the other young guys, too, that they brought in, that they drafted this year, and Brandon Dorlis. You see those guys out there being active and the defense setting the tone. And then you got a guy like Natron Brooks. Like, we wouldn't even thought that Natron Brooks were out there bringing the hat like that if it wasn't for preseason games. Because that stuff matters, man. It matters, man. And I even go back to, you know, when I remember when Victor Cruz went on a stupid tear in a preseason. I was just like, man, this is what it's all about. Nobody knew about Victor Cruz coming into the preseason. But guess what? Everybody knew who he was. Because he went out there, balled out, and earned a spot, man. So that's what preseason is all about. And to be honest with you, coaches can make preseason not valuable, right? Like, if they don't play pretty much their first and second string guys,
if you don't play there, guys, like, yeah, you can make it seem like preseason not valuable. But if you're out there putting your that back end of your roster out there, guys, you're trying to figure out certain positions. If you're loaded at one position and you have a lot of guys who could potentially make your team, you give them that real live game action to see out here, see the guy that's going to go out there and get you who's going to earn that spot. And I think that, you know, we're seeing some of that with the Falcons, and you're seeing around the league with, you know, with guys going out there and earning a spot, and you seeing them, you see it consistently on a weekly basis. So yeah, I'm all on board for continuing with the preseason games. I think that, you know, coaches got to make sure that they prove that it's valuable, because they know it's valuable, because like I said, they use that film to evaluate players and to fill out the back end of their roster. So that's where I'm at with it, man.
I'm glad, Jarvis. I'm glad you were able to kind of vent just like I did, of just like, you know, it's one
Sorry,
of those.
Man.
I'm not gonna make too much of it. I'm not gonna overreact to it. It's just I don't understand the philosophy. But talking with Jarvis Davis on the WadeFord.com hotline. Jarvis, of course, the executive producer and host of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Look, obviously the big story of this past weekend and this past week has been what the Falcons did, trading for Matthew Judon and then signing safety Justin Simmons. I feel like a lot of the conversation around this is people getting very excited about what the Falcons can be. As we knew, when it comes, you know, offense, defense, special teams, at least special teams, we think, you know, it felt like defense is where the deficiencies were, and these fixes some holes that were on this Atlanta Falcons team. However, Jarvis, I want to ask you, does bringing in Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons, does that change your opinion of what the Falcons can achieve this season, or does it just better help out what you thought they were already capable of?
It doesn't change my expectation, because my expectation was for them to win a division this year.
Okay.
And then once you win a division, you automatically secure a playoff spot, and then whatever happens after that is gravy on top. Now, when you bring in a guy like Matthew Judon, you know I got to start there, because I've been one who's been clamoring for a dude to come in on this defensive line and be able to count on him, you know, on third and long every time. Every time. The Falcons haven't had that in a very long time. Last time the Falcons had a double-digit sack guy was Vic Beasley. Last time they had somebody who could consistently get to the quarterback was John Abraham. John Abraham is eligible for the Hall of Fame and has been eligible for the Hall of Fame. So that lets you know how long ago that was. So I've been all on board for drafting the guy in the first round for the past however long, because, you know, everybody get all fascinated with all the sexy and cute offensive picks, all that good stuff. Yeah, that's why I refer to it as, because that's how I feel about it. But when you talk about bringing in somebody who, you know, once he puts his hand in the dirt on third and long, the dude is going to get there more than like you could put some money that he's going to at least be somewhere in the vicinity. The quarterback going to fill him, you know, at 1 o'clock on Sundays. The Falcons haven't had that, and when you bring that in, like, that lets me know that you're serious. You're really serious about doing this doggone thing. So what it did for me, it didn't raise my expectation, because, like I said, my expectation coming in, winning the division. You got to win the division this year, because when you bring in a quarterback like Kirk Cousins and $100 million guaranteed, hey, man, got to get to the playoffs. Got to get to it. But when you start bringing in guys that can rush the passer, a guy in Justin Simmons who can take the ball away, that's let me know that you are trying to be a contender. And once you get to that level, you know, that lets me know that, hey, we know we can get this division. And then once we get to the division, get into the playoffs, we know we can doggone compete, because we know how it is. We know what the playoffs is. Things slow down and people start running the ball a little bit more and they try to establish themselves. And when you can get people, when they do finally put the ball in the air, because your offense is putting up 25, 27 points a game and you got that lead, Then you got the guy who can finish. I know people want to talk all that trash about Vic Beasley, but Vic Beasley was able to do it in 2016. He did it for a year,
yeah,
a solid year. And he was doggone taking the ball away as well with the strip sacks. So he led the league with that. So when you think about it from that standpoint, it just gets me excited. I don't know if you can tell, but I get excited.
Oh, no, I
can
tell.
I get excited, man, when you put that combination of people out there, and then along with Justice Simmons, and you already have Jesse Bates, who's one of the best safeties in the league too. Man, like, it's hard not to get excited, man. It's hard not to get excited because, you know, Falcons fans, you know, growing up in this city, man, I understand the trepidation that you have about getting excited. And I'm a part of that too. The fan in me is like that too. But, man, it is hard not to get excited when you got hardcore evidence that this defense can be really, really freaking good. And you pair that with an offense that can put up 30 points. And even if they fall short of it, you're still talking about an excellent combination of teams. And now you're at the point where you just got to go out there and do it.
Baby steps, though, Jarvis. Baby steps. We gotta go.
No doubt.
We're going for. And I like where your head's at because I'm there with you. Winning the division, winning a playoff game. I feel like I watched a lot of people this weekend jump to we're going to the Super Bowl, and it was like whoa, let's calm it down.
Let's calm it on down.
But that is Jarvis Davis, executive producer and host of Locked On Sports Atlanta. Give him a follow on social media at JarvisD90. Jarvis, really appreciate you giving us some of your time on this Sunday evening, man.
No problem, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. All right, when we get back, there's some people in the media who said the Falcons were fleeced in this trade for Matthew Judon. I'll let you listen to who said that and why they are absolutely wrong. It's coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back.
Let's get back to the show now.
It's the Dopey Millennial Show.
Get out of your mind!
From Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring them out.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Sunday evening. Going to give you a quick Braves update. The Braves playing the LA Angels today. It is 2-1. The Braves lead in the top of the eighth. Of course, coming up next hour, 7 o'clock, is when Grant McCauley will have his show from the Diamond, giving you everything going on with the Atlanta Braves, as well as Major League Baseball this weekend. It's been a weird road trip. And can I call it interesting? Maybe that's better. That's interesting. You know, whenever you have a friend or someone tells you something and you really don't know how to react to it, you don't want to be mean, you're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Because, yeah, I mean, this is a road trip that started off in Colorado with, what, I think you lost, yeah, 2 or 3 against the Rockies. Then you look really good against the Giants, but they're the Giants, you know, the ones who traded you Jorge Soler because they were pretty much giving up on the season. You take 3 out of 4 from them. You go to L.A. to face the Angels, who stink, and you lose game 1. And then you look great in game 2 on Saturday. And then so far, things are holding on, headed towards potentially a win against the Angels. As like I said, the Braves lead 2-1. Charlie Morton had a good day. He had 4, especially for Charlie, if we're honest. And I have not been this year. I have not been the biggest Charlie fanatic. I have not been in his corner that often. I know there are plenty of you out there, and there are plenty, and I'm sure Grant is probably in this camp as well, to let you know that the numbers aren't that bad. However, just feels like dude's 40 And every time he goes out there this season, he's giving up home runs. And it's been a bit concerning. Has not done that. Did not do that today. As Charlie Morton pitched 5 1/3, gave up 2 hits, 1 earned run, walked 2, but struck out 7. And then, like I said, gave up no long balls today, which is a really, really important part of all of that. And hopefully the Braves are headed towards a second straight win over the Angels, can win that series. And then it gets good this week, because 3 against the Philadelphia Phillies, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then you get a little bit of relief, or what should be some relief, some easier wins against the Washington Nationals to wrap up the week. However, I wanted to get into some audio that I heard this weekend from Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel. They work for The Athletic, and they do a podcast together, as Diana has made that transition from ESPN to The Athletic, and it's still kind of weird for me, I'm not going to lie. I just got used to her so long being at ESPN. But she was never afraid of, I don't want to say hot takes, but in her reporting to editorialize things a bit and kind of and smush in some opinion with her sort of thing. And now that she's over at The Athletic, a lot of what she does is reporting, but in the podcast form, you can give your opinion on things, as I do on 92.9 The Game. And, I report on the Hawks as well as I get to give my opinion when I get on this radio station. It's kind of fun to be able to play both sides a little bit. And sometimes it feels a little bit dangerous because you realize, hey, I got to go.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We talk to these people in person who I've been talking about on the radio. However, when it comes to Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel, they talked about the trade that happened this past week for Matthew Judon. The Falcons get the 32-year-old Matthew Judon, pass rusher, who, of course, starts his career with the Baltimore Ravens. Really great pass rusher, something the Atlanta Falcons have needed for quite some time. They finally get that in Matthew Judon, and they give up a 2025 third-round pick. Now, listen to what Diana and Chase believe about this trade.
The New England Patriots were able to get, which was a third-rounder.
Absurd, by the way.
Blew my mind.
They fleeced the Falcons. I'm just going to completely put it out there.
The other side to the Judon story that I think is really interesting is the fact that he was willing to get traded to a team that could contend and not have that team redo his deal. So he is going to most likely play on the contract that he is on right now.
All right. Now, I included that last part because I do think that's an important part of all of this. Is Matthew Judon is essentially, he's going to play for $6.5 million this season on what is essentially a one-year deal. The Falcons trade, getting a rental, if we call it like we see it. The Falcons traded for a rental. Now, the positive side of that is, as a Falcons fan, you have to feel like, wait, what? We're making moves in this city that aren't necessarily about how is this going to affect the team for the next 3 to 5 years? That feels really good when it's not just a guy who's like, oh, okay, he's pretty good. Because, you know, for the last couple of years, and every season for that matter, but more specifically in the post Matt Ryan era, we've been dealing with the Falcons signing some guys to these one-year deals, these prove-it deals, you know, and all these sorts of things. Like, but these haven't been dudes like Matthew Judon, a guy who not just double-digit sacks, 15 and a half in 2022, and the discount, the reason why he is essentially being traded out of New England coming off the injury is that, oh, well, you're going to factor in things like age. You're going to factor in things like the injury that held him out. He only played 4 games last year. It wasn't a leg injury, though. It's a bicep injury. And if there's anything that I feel comfortable with of a guy who is a pass rusher, you're telling me his legs are still in good shape and that he had to rehab the arms? And, I mean, just looking at the like, physical freak of nature that Matthew Judon is, I'm going to buy that he's able to come back from a bicep injury versus if there was something in a situation where a guy who needs to rely on speed and power and his legs, if you were to tell me that he had come off some kind of leg injury. But the third round pick and the fact that Diana Rossini and Chase Daniel, and they're not alone in this, feel like the Falcons were fleeced in this trade blows my mind, quite honestly. Because what you're saying is to get a 1 year rental at a very team friendly deal, I would say $6.5 million for a guy who can put up double digit sacks and did so most recently before he was injured, his arm, not his legs. And you're telling me that's not worth a third-round pick that if you end up not signing this guy to a long-term deal after this and you lose him, then you're going to get that compensatory pick from all of this. And what did you really lose? Like, I have a hard time of maybe, I guess there's a situation where they could have drawn this thing out and Judon ends up going for like a fifth. But I just have a really hard time believing the Falcons giving up a third round pick for a position of need and a guy who was shown very recently to be a double digit sack guy, that's not worth the risk of a third round pick. So this one, seeing all of the people, and I understand, like I get the caveats, the people who are on the, because I am in that camp of like, he is 32, he is coming off a season ending injury. Doesn't matter what it is, that's always a bit of a concern. But risk reward here feels like you've got to feel in favor with what the Atlanta Falcons have done, especially with the fact that it's not that Matthew Judon is playing on the New England Patriots on a defensive line where he is going, like New England is trash. That team that side of the ball is trash. And to just think that like so much was going to be expected out of him, and to come to this team where on the line, yes, you are a big piece of what they need, but it's not like you're playing with scrubs on this team. So I feel like all of that, and then you throw in the fact that this team has brought in Justin Simmons, a guy who, you know, is a ball hawk. Look, it is quite simple. Dude is a ball hawk, and you put him in the same secondary with a guy who also is a ball hawk. And I mean, we were talking to Jarvis Davis last segment. I feel like it's got to have you in a really, really fun, really positive mindset when it comes to this team. Now, there is one caveat, and there's something that's the reason why I asked Jarvis about it, and I want to end this segment diving into it just a little bit with the simple fact of, don't let Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons change your expectations for what this team can achieve. Whatever you thought they were going to achieve pre-Matthew Judon and Justin Simmons, I need you to keep those expectations there. Even if you were the person who were like, I think they can make it to the Super Bowl. I really, really strongly believe that this is a team where we're going to see. It is year one of a new coach, a new system, a new quarterback, and now two new pieces on the defensive side of the ball. Don't go crazy with expectations just because the Falcons made smart moves that made this team better right now rather than just playing for the future. It's something we've got to come to terms with. It's a little bit different, but it's not a bad thing to get excited about at all. All right, when we get back, you know, I'm a Falcons guy. I cover the Atlanta Falcons, or Hawks guy, I should say. I'm a Hawks guy. The Atlanta Hawks schedule has come out, and I want to talk about it. What are expectations for the Atlanta Hawks for this upcoming season, as well as how this season is going to play, and what does the NBA really think of Zachary Risacher? I think the schedule told us a bit of that. We'll talk about it next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to more of the Dopey Millennial Show.
How do real life millennials respond?
That was fire.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you for just a couple more segments before we turn things over to Grant McCauley and From the Diamond, as Grant will do a much better job than me, honestly, talking about this Braves team and Major League Baseball. However, the Braves right now look to be headed towards a win. It's 3-1, top of the ninth, so not much longer to go. Hopefully the Braves are able to hang on and get the win there. As like I mentioned earlier, good day today from Charlie Morton. 5 1/3, just giving up the one earned run on two hits. Like, this is the version of Charlie Morton that I'm comfortable if he needs to pitch, or when he needs to pitch. I'm going to say that when he needs to pitch in the postseason, because, you know, you start going through scenarios in your head of how this season unfolds and how tight the race is when it comes to the wild card spot. And if the Braves find themselves in a position where they can't set up the rotation how they want it for a wild card game, or, you know, do you really want to send Chris Sale out there for the wild card game when you would want him in that first round playoff series? Like, all of those sorts of things that come into play that have you feeling a bit shaky earlier parts in the season. A good start today from Charlie Morton. And then, I mean, just not enough good things can be said about Chris Sale, what he's been this season, obviously, but what he was on Saturday against the Angels. I mean, just great stuff once again from Chris Sale. Pitched 6 innings, gave up 6 hits, just 2 earned runs, struck out 10 batters for a third straight start, and now leads Major League Baseball. I believe I saw this correctly. Yeah. leads Major League Baseball in strikeouts. You remember the Braves also had the guy who led the league in strikeouts last season, Spencer Strider. It kind of makes me do a like, what if, you know, what if we could have been in a situation this point in the season with Spencer Strider and Chris Sale both on the staff together? We're not going to get that this season, but at least from what we saw, what we know we can count on with Chris Sale this weekend, but what we saw from Charlie Morton today makes me feel better about going into a postseason where you're most likely, very likely, going to have to rely on the veteran in Charlie Morton and him pitching, you know, a solid outing that keeps you in a game as he's doing today. As, like I said, the Braves heading into the final half of the ninth and are up 3-1. All right. I want to get into, with me being an Atlanta Hawks guy who covers the team here at 92.9 The Game. I know it's early until the season starts. It's really feels to me like it's right around the corner, quite honestly. And it will be here before I can even like really think about it. But it's one of those, it always sneaks up on you. Like, I'll be honest with y'all. The summertime gets a bit boring for me. Not that I don't have enough to do, but you get used to the regular grind of an NBA season as it goes on. And so with it being right around the corner, the NBA this past week announced schedules for all of the NBA teams. And it was funny to see, you know, our own Mike Conti as well as Brad Rowland from Locked On Hawks out there tweeting early before everything got released of what we can know to expect. Opening night, October 23rd, the Atlanta Hawks are going to take on the Brooklyn Nets to open the NBA season. And here's how the NBA has kind of laid things out for the Atlanta Hawks. I told you before, I think the NBA told us what they think of Zachary Risacher, and quite honestly, for that matter, Alex Sarr, with how they laid out the schedule. Because the Atlanta Hawks are going to, at least for the moment, play in two real nationally televised games. That's TNT or ESPN. Now, in the future, obviously, nationally televised, it's going to go into NBC, ESPN, Amazon, all of that sort of thing. But for the moment, TNT, ESPN, nationally televised, the Atlanta Hawks are going to play two real nationally televised games. And for some strange reason, both against the Spurs. I don't know what the league thinks is the, it's not a rivalry, it's not a geographical, like I have no idea. But last year, the Atlanta Hawks had two scheduled nationally televised games. They ended up only playing one, and it was against the San Antonio Spurs on MLK Day. So that's the other thing, is right now they have two nationally televised games. They can't have them taken away. The league will do that. So it's one of those things to keep in mind, but they're playing the Spurs December 19th on TNT and then February 5th on ESPN. The big rivalry between the San Antonio Spurs and the Atlanta Hawks.
You know what it is?
What is it?
The NBA has their agenda. They heard some of the rumors. They want everyone to look. Hey, you see Trae Young? You see Victor Wembanyama? Wouldn't it be cool if they played together?
How well would those two guys look together? You know, it's funny because the Spurs had the ability to trade for both Trae Young and DeJounte Murray this offseason. And at least from the people that I trust, I heard they were not interested. They were more interested in DeJounte, but just not really interested in Trae Young. I'm wondering how that changes. If it's just a matter of we're not interested right now, or we're like, we're not interested, you know, because we want the price to go down. All of those sorts of things kind of come into play. But Victor Wembanyama this season gets to play with an aging Chris Paul, but a veteran and someone who, you know, it's going to be an interesting situation to see if the Spurs are able to take the next step.
I totally forgot Chris Paul is on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, he got traded from Golden State.
I completely forgot
that is their point guard. So, you know, that is kind of what we're expecting to see. However, we know that Chris often gets hurt, and especially as he's at the back half of his career. Back, I mean, back, quarter. Like this is kind of
into a straight mercenary.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, this is, he's got what, 1-2 years tops left in him. So this is kind of his thing, is going, he doesn't even get to do the, I want to go play for a contender. It's like, I'm going to go mentor some people. Yeah. I'm going to go mentor.
To his credit, that was supposed to be his role in Oklahoma City. And then that team went and
overachieved.
Made a playoff game.
Yeah. No,
playoff series.
You're completely right about that. All right. So like I said, yeah. So the Hawks, two real nationally televised games. When it comes to the Washington Wizards, one, they have one on their schedule right now. So just in case you were doing what I started to do before I saw the Wizards schedule, I was like, oh, this is the NBA doesn't believe in Zachary Risacher. And so they're probably going to give some nationally televised games to the Wizards because of Alex Sard. Nope. They actually are like, oh yeah, yeah. We see that roster. And we saw what Alex Sard did at Summer League. Yeah, we'll give him
No one wants to watch Alex Sar and Kyle Kuzma go crazy in Washington.
Team's going to be so bad. So bad because Alex Sar thinks he's a much better player than he actually is, and he wants to be a big part of the offense. I digress. All right. When it comes to the Hawks, though, I think, you know, it's kind of a shame that they're not putting, because in the first week, the Atlanta Hawks are going to play two straight games against the Washington Wizards. And so you could get a number one pick versus number two pick. But no NBA TV there and no nationally televised games for the Hawks or the Wizards in that respect. Now, a lot of people are talking about, even Trae Young tweeted about the fact of this year, the Atlanta Hawks will not play a home game on the 20th of January, which is Martin Luther King Day. And it's like, hey, like, what is the league doing? You know, this is a whole thing. Like, they talked in the past about how it was kind of the expectation that the Atlanta Hawks would host, you know, on MLK Day every year. It's a nationally televised game. It has been in the past. But this year, not happening. They're going to be playing the Knicks. It's going to be an NBA TV game. Like, what's happening? Why is this all going down? A lot of people frustrated. And I understand the initial frustration of being like, oh, this is the NBA really messing over the Atlanta Hawks. However, I want to add a rather large caveat. Why is this all happening? On January 20th, 2025, there's going to be a really, really big event in the city of Atlanta. College Football National Championship is going to be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Do you know where Mercedes-Benz Stadium is in relation to State Farm Arena? Yeah, kind of right next to each other and kind of all the parking. Have you also noticed what's happening? New developments when it comes to the Gulch being turned into a whole new development area, that's happening there. So parking, less parking than there has been in the past. Are you really wanting to put a national championship game, that's going to have a ton of traffic and commerce and parking and all that sort of thing going on here on top of MLK Day here in Atlanta at State Farm Arena? The league opting for, hey, we're not going to do that. We're going to put that game in New York as the Hawks will take on to the Knicks. I understand if you're an NBA fan who does not care about college football going like, well, what does it matter? Well, just for logistics sake, the national championship game it's going to take precedent every single time over what is a big game for the NBA and for the Hawks, but at the end of the day is just a regular season game, not the holiday, the game itself. Okay. Want to make sure you understand. I'm not saying the holiday, not a big deal. Holiday, very big deal. The game is a regular season game at the end of the day. And so doing that was just a smart logistical move for the NBA, for the Hawks, and for the city of Atlanta, quite honestly, because I can't imagine the traffic. Like, it's already going to be bad. Security is going to be tight. But to throw an NBA game across the street, you know, like, that would just be an absolute nightmare. All right. Other things going on with the Atlanta Hawks schedule that I wanted to make sure I talked about. They're going to host a Black Friday game this year. And as our own Mike Conti pointed out, don't know that the Hawks have played on Black Friday potentially ever, as the NBA, you know, kind of stepping into that area. I mean, Look, I feel like they're on the, okay, NFL, you're going to take, you know, Christmas Day. Like, we're going to start throwing back and having some games going on days that you've typically, you know, kind of owned the sports calendar of. So the Hawks playing on Black Friday. It's going to be a part of the NBA Cup. Now, distinction this year, NBA Cup, no longer in-season tournament. That is kind of a slow change that the NBA kind of slipped in there. They started calling it the NBA Cup as we got closer to, you know, it all playing out this past season. But officially moving from in-season tournament to NBA Cup that's played right there in the middle of the year. And the Hawks playing on Black Friday this year against the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of that NBA Cup. The Hawks are going to play 10 of 12 games at home after the All-Star break. And they play 16 sets of back-to-backs, which is up this year from previous years. But the league trying to do some things scheduling-wise to give more of a break while, you know, you might have to play some more back-to-backs. All right, when we get back, would you go see your favorite artist if you didn't know they were performing till the night before? We'll talk about that next on News You Can Lose. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
We're back with the Dopey Millennial Show.
Good, bad. It's going to be like a drama every week. It's going to be awesome.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Would you go see your favorite artist if you didn't know they were performing until the night before? It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you. One final segment. Always like to end the show with something fun, not always sports related, but we'll get into some sports things with News You Can Lose.
Taking a look at non-sports related news with News You Can Lose on the Dopey Millennial Show.
So would you go see your favorite artist as an adult? Like, this is not your, you know, you're in high school or, you know, maybe in college and you've got plenty of free time. No. You're living your adult life and you don't know your favorite artist is performing until the night before, sometime maybe morning of the show. Are you going? Now, we literally have apps that exist for last-minute decisions of going to concerts. However, there's at least a bit of a, like, you know it's coming. Like, you know the concert's coming, you just maybe don't have tickets. Or you know the game is coming, you just don't have tickets. However, producer Dom played Icky Thump coming in of the White Stripes. And if you know anything about the White Stripes, and Jack White specifically, you know, he's an odd guy. And, like, that's kind of his thing. That's his shtick, is he is musical genius that is doing the opposite of whatever the norm is. You know, like, whatever the people are doing, he's going the other way. He wants to just be his own individual and do things in a different way just simply because. Well, what is the newest thing that Jack White, who I didn't realize is, like, continuing to put out music just on his own now with his own band. But a story came out this week that Jack White needed to explain to people that he's not playing pop-up shows because there had been some media outlets reporting on Jack White popping up at, like, legitimately, like, a coffee shop and just putting on a show. Just random kind of places popping up and putting on a show. Well, Jack White took to social media this past week to explain what he's doing. Says, hello and love to all the peoples of the world out there. Yeah, you remember what I said about he just got to do things a little bit different. Yeah. A lot of folks asking about when we're going to announce tour dates. Well, we don't know what to tell you, but the tour already started at the Legion a couple weeks ago. People are saying these are pop-up shows we've been playing, and you can call them whatever you want, but we're on tour right now. These are the shows. We won't really be announcing dates in advance so much. We'll mostly be playing at small clubs, backyards, and a few festivals here and there to help pay for expenses. Shows will be announced as close to the show date as possible. Some shows won't even be decided until that morning. I want to walk through orchard fields and grab apples off of trees at will and fill my belly full of the fruit that if the desire strikes me. I'm looking forward to the cool breeze, you know. Lots of love and rock and roll to you all are blessing. Yeah, he wraps up like a outgoing message. But what an absolute, like, you've made it in life. You've achieved everything you want to achieve in life. When you're like, yeah, I got a new album. We're going to perform it. But I really, like, I want to, let me see, what did he say? I want to walk through orchard fields and grab apples off of trees at will and fill my belly full of the fruit if the desire strikes me. That is some real, like, hippity-dippity, just super wealthy. I don't, you know, it's saying that, oh, I'm going to play some festivals to pay for the bills. Just, I love this in some respects. And I am also, in the same respect, Dom, I'm very thankful that Jack White is not a favorite artist of mine. Mm-hmm. Because if I was a fan and my favorite artist said, yeah, we're going to do some shows, I might tell you the night before, might tell you the morning of, you know, like, I, no, my life is so busy. I have so much going on that I need to plan for things. Mm-hmm. Like, when I tell you, what was this, 2 months ago, I was sitting at my laptop, like just waiting for the moment that I could get Childish Gambino tickets. And, like, to have that happen, and to think that, like, what if he just showed up and was just like, hey, I'm going to be in Atlanta today doing a show. Come through, you know, if you can, kind of thing. And I had something important that I couldn't get out of that I maybe could have scheduled around previously. All of those sorts of things. It just, I feel like this would drive me absolutely nuts as a fan. Am I wrong here, Dom?
No, I think it's, I also think that a part of it plays into, you have to know the artist that you are. Like, I think there's a certain level of artist that can pull this type of stuff off, and it's okay. Like, if Beyonce wants to just pop up and be like, hey, Beehive, I'm doing a show today in, like, Houston at, like, 5 p.m. Show up if you want. Okay, cool. Because sure. Beyonce can do that. Jack White, like,
I guess
like
he can.
Sure, there are some fans that'll do it. But like I said, as adults, it's just, I would like to be able to plan things. You know, I'm definitely someone, like, I want to follow a schedule. I like having, you know, an itinerary. So you just kind of popping up and being like, especially if it's an artist that I really like, and they're like, oh, hey, I'm doing this show in your city, but it's like in 2 hours from now.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty bummed out, because it's like, well, I'm at work. So, like,
I was about to say, and I think there's a little bit of difference of, like, an artist doing a true, like, pop-up show where this is not a part of a tour. Like,
yeah.
They're just,
yeah.
You know, for whatever promotions reasons, you know, they decide to come to X place and do a show or whatever. Like, that is a little bit different. Like, this is, he's legitimately Jack White, you know, of the White Stripes, calling this a tour. That he just wants to wake up in whatever city he's in. Hey, we'll do a show and we'll do, you know, like, take it easy. And I mean, I guess, like, when you got it like that, when it comes to money and fulfillment, that you've done everything that you want to do, which, fair enough for a guy like Jack White, who, you know, has been a part of bands for, you know, decades at this point. And I guess you're not out trying to get a buck for all of this. Fair enough that you do it at your leisure. I just thought it was like such a very like hippie-ish, richish kind of mentality.
I was literally just about to say it's rich white hippie stuff.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is, and that's fine.
Sure, I'm very thankful that the artist that I'm fans of that they go through an early like, hey, we're gonna pre-sale this day.
Yeah.
You know, rest of the fans can get it on this day, and then moving forward, you know what date to schedule and when to come up to the show. But yeah, all of that just that's why I wanted to talk about our News You Can Lose, because such an interesting approach that I'm thinking, you know, sports could never. We're just gonna the Braves are gonna play a random game. We're gonna pop up and we're gonna go over to Piedmont Park and we're just gonna bring the guys over and play a little pickup game, whatever. No, could never happen. We love our schedules and planning and all of those sorts of things. All right, other story I wanted to get into in News You Can Lose, because the first part of this was just kind of wild, is that there was a woman who was accused recently, or I guess this kind of thing all played out, an Illinois school worker. Her name is Vera Liddell. She was a former food service director for the Harvey School District in Indiana. She was arrested for her involvement in stealing $1.5 million of chicken wings from the school system. So apparently, during COVID, when a lot of schools weren't in, they weren't actually going to school.
Right.
And a lot of school systems were doing the whole thing where, like, kids still got to eat, you know, and a lot of kids rely on, whether people realize it or not, a lot of kids rely on having those meals at school because they don't have them at home. And so a lot of school systems pivoted to, hey, we're putting food on buses and we're going to ship it out to schools and remote learning, all those sorts of things. So we're making sure kids are getting fed. Well, through remote learning, Vera Liddell, who was in charge of food services for an entire school district, was skimming a little bit of chicken wings off the top. So much.
A little bit.
Right? So much so that over the course of 2 years, she stole what they have now recorded as $1.5 million of chicken wings. Now, this story came out, caught a lot of people's attention. Yeah, are you going to do the math on how many chicken wings that is? Because,
absolutely.
That's an insane thing. You know, now the last time I had a show in which I was asking the dollar amount of a certain item that some people might decide to smoke, I got so many people in my DMs who told me the exact dollar amount of how much that wide receiver from Alabama tried to smuggle in the plane that it got caught with. Anyway, different subject. Dom's going to find out how many chicken wings $1.5 million worth is. But Chris Jones, pass rusher for the Kansas City Chiefs, saw this story and tweeted out, "I'll pay for the wings that she stole to get her free." Obviously, Chris Jones going for the, like, yeah, I don't want a 68-year-old woman in prison. The bigger part of this story, come to find out, at least from what the reports are, that she was stealing the chicken wings and selling them, not entirely sure how she was doing that, to pay off gambling debts. So 68-year-old Vera Liddell apparently had found herself in some gambling debt and was skimming chicken wings from the school system that she worked for to the tune of $1.5 million to pay this gambling debt. I would wonder if, you know, I would find it hard to imagine that she had accrued $1.5 million in gambling debts. But either way, she found something to pay for the gambling debts and then probably made some money on top of it as well. That's just an insane amount of chicken wings. Dom, do we have a rough estimate of how many chicken wings we're talking about to have stolen $1.5 million worth?
So $1.5 million worth of chicken wings, according to this website here, at least what the average cost of chicken is per pound is about $2.50. So that would round out to about 600,000 pounds.
600,000 pounds of chicken wings that were stolen. I want to know how a school system did not see that missing. Because, like, let's not act like school systems are out here just rolling in cash. So the fact that they didn't notice 600,000 pounds of chicken wings missing and how much it must take to feed kids, you know, that's the other part of this. Is, like, if they're ordering and not even noticing that missing, how much it's taking to feed kids, that's an insane, a whole other thing that we quite simply don't have time to get into over the course of this show. All right, one final thing I want to do is hand out a participation trophy, as I always like to do here on what is my show called?
The Dopey Millennials.
Yeah,
there we go.
Well, at least you tried. This is a participation trophy on the Dopey Millennial Show.
How about we give a participation trophy to you
for trying
to remember the name of the show?
For forgetting and then trying to remember the name of my own show, the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you. I'm handing out a participation trophy, as I always do on the final segment, to Chris Bosch. Chris Bosch is going to play basketball for the first time since 2016. Now, unfortunately, it's in Slovenia, and it's for Goran Dragic's team that he's playing for. He's doing a farewell game as he retires from basketball entirely, Goran Dragic is. And so he's having like Luka Doncic and a bunch of people come out to Slovenia. Chris Bosch is going to play. Why is that a big deal? Chris Bosch has not been able to play basketball competitively since 2016 because, you know, he had that whole blood clot situation that was going on. And so Chris Bosch will get out there. I think actually might have been this weekend and play in a friendly game for Goran Dragic as Goran Dragic says farewell to the game of basketball. But participation trophy to Chris Bosch for getting out there. All right, coming up next, Grant McCauley with From the Diamond. You don't want to miss that as the Braves have some good things going, getting a couple of wins back to back. That is my time here on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson with you. Shout out to producer Dom. Until next time, have a good one.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.